Father, we do just come before you and we want to praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. But Lord, we also know that there's family struggling and going through many things. So Lord, just ask for Tim's family, that you would just meet them and touch them and seize. You would comfort them, give them peace. Most importantly, reveal yourself to them and your goodness. And just be their strength. We just thank you and we just pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, we don't want to come here. We don't want to leave here the same. So we just pray that you would stir in our hearts and continue to kindle. Not rekindle, but continue to kindle that fire that you have within us. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to be picking up where we left off last week, so if you want to turn to Luke chapter 18. We're going to go through verses 9 to 17, but I think it's important to remember where we're picking up. Last week was a nice, light, easy message for everybody. Okay, that was a joke. Since you didn't get it, you have to hear it again. It's a joke, obviously. But keep in mind as we're continuing, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and is before he's getting ready to head to the cross for the last months of his life. And in chapter 17, he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. And so Jesus is, I believe, continuing to teach the principle of kingdom of God living. We're told when he came out of the, after John was put in prison, from that point on, he preached the kingdom of God. And so I think it's important to remember that there's a kingdom light, that we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, or the kingdom of light. We are learning what it means, or what that kingdom truly looks like. We're learning to rest on the King and His attributes and who He is as we enter into the kingdom and His desire. So as I've been going through it, Jesus has been teaching that from the heart, and it's not just the letter. He's dealing with Pharisees. He's dealing with religious people. We might not be Pharisees, but we're all in a church, which would probably have a tendency to put us in a place where we can be stuck in the forms of religion. And we're not walking with the heart motive to just love God and love people. And so as we walk through this, Jesus isn't only teaching these things, but through his 33 years of life on this earth, which we only have 3.5 years really talked about a whole lot, he lived it. He wasn't a man of just word, but he was a man that walked out what the Lord did. But yet the cool thing is just like you and I, he didn't do it on his own. It's something important to remember that when Jesus left heaven, he came to this earth in the form of a man. And he walked the way that we've learned multiple times. You read, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." He walked out the life that the Lord sent forth. He was sent forth. That's what means brought forth. He's been come, begotten, is to be sent forth from the Father, the Father's heart, the Father's life, and it's just who he is. But he tells us how he did it. That's the important thing. John 5:19. Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does, also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." What does that Later in John 5, Jesus says, I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I think it's important to realize Jesus came here, and as he came and walked on this earth, he lived a life of reliance on the Father. Seeking the Father, desiring to know his will before he walked out in anything. Any disagreements? I know that there's different teachings, but I wanted to set this because the Lord's still working with, and in light of the unjust judge, I believe these next two, we're only going to go to verse 17, and in these teachings, and in the same things, I still believe he's teaching and tying the unjust judgment. My personal opinion, we'll see. If somebody would like to read, we'll go. Can I just read from verse 1 through 17? Okay. You can start the game.
Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there is in a certain city a judge who does not fear God nor regard men. Now there is a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he was not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all those left with us. And the tax collector, standing afar off, did not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then they also brought incense to him, that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.
All right. Pretty self-explanatory. When you look at these two little, one's a parable and one's just actuality, what's Jesus dealing with in both scenarios? What do you think the main point is? Let's just start with the two gentlemen praying.
Our own ability.
Okay.
Pride and humility.
Pride and humility, okay. I would agree with that. Anything else? How about the second part? The little children.
Yeah. The difference between I can do this, I can get this worked out, and I can't. I'm completely needy and helpless.
Mm-hmm. Looking at
like
the children.
Like a baby, you know, is completely needy.
Right.
Whether these every Cherokee, they're like on top of it all. They're like, I got this, you know, we know God, and this, you know, the scripture.
But who's the ones that hindered the kids from coming? Disciples. Aren't we good? So when you look at this little part, what do you think? Like for me, I looked at it as broke down value. Humility and value. How do we value others? I think it's important. How does the Lord value us? I think we just sang some songs about that. Not of anything of our own, but who He is and what He's done. And not even knowing what He's done, but what He's continuing to do. And so, I don't have a whole lot to share here, because today I get to share a whole week of failure. And the reality of it. And considering, what does an unjust judge, what did the unjust judge say to himself? I don't fear God, nor do I regard man. I think many times, like for me, easily, I'm so distracted and busy. Or, well, I'll just use that as an excuse. Really, I'm just in the flesh a lot of times. And I have what I want to see get done. And when others enter into my framework and they're not doing things the way I see them, do I judge? Do I judge rightly? Do I not fear God, and do I even regard me? Because I know throughout this week there's a couple of times I failed. That I reacted to circumstances without first seeking the Lord and then asking Him to help. Well, to surrender. And just allow Him to love everyone through me the way He loves me and each of us. It's taking the time. Sometimes that unjustness that we live in is we're just so busy and everything's wrapped around us that we don't yield and give time and surrender to the Lord's will. Are you open and ready to be interrupted by the Holy Spirit to minister to people? Or are we too busy and stressed out and worried and our days too full that we don't even allow Him in, even though we say we do? There's many times, and in my Lord, doing devotions, it's time, I gotta go do my day, when I get it. And it's like everything get cut off, it all just leaves. Right? Everything's been working. Well, it doesn't leave, but it feels like we don't have it. So, when you consider humility, when you think of what humility really is, what is it? Because I know everybody can define pride. We know plenty of them and we can see in the mirror enough. But what does true humility look like?
Self-denial.
I'm sorry?
Self-denial.
Okay.
Loving others more than yourself. Mm-hmm. Putting them before yourself.
Okay. All those, they can be. That can be a sign of humility.
All those things happen as a result of humility, but humility really is knowing who you are before God. And that will humble anybody because it really gives you knowledge of who you are before Him.
So true humility is a proper perspective of who you are in the Lord.
Yes, that's what I think.
It's not thinking highly of yourself because that's pride. Yes. Another form of pride is false humility. I'm not worthy.
Mm-hmm. We can do all those things because they look humble.
Right.
And they make us feel like we are being humble. But if He doesn't give you that perspective of Himself, then you're doing them to do them. Maybe to make yourself feel good. And that's really the opposite of humility.
Right.
You were all good testimony. I met with a friend on Tuesday, the childhood friend, and she's had some issues with her family. Her oldest sister, there is a group of girls, and she loved her family, she loved her dad, and she spoke about her mom passed away. She had an issue with her older sister, and she told that she, when she turned 70, she said, I came before the Lord, she said, and I said, I want my next decade to be better than the one that I had with this person. She still hardly ever sees her, but she comes to family events. And she said, when she confessed her like unforgiveness towards her sister's unforgiveness, she couldn't forgive her sister for what she felt she did to her father. And as a result, her relationship had been strained all these, you know, for a long time now. And she said she made this prayer in her heart to the Lord. She went to a family gathering, she said, and I don't know, but she, in the story that she said, it wasn't me. I went there and I saw her sitting with one of the steps, and I went over and said, Linda, stay here, I have something for you. She said, we haven't exchanged gifts for years, but all the other people do. And she said, she gave her, she said, oh, I didn't know. She said, you know, I knew the girl, but she said she was very, very difficult. She's been very difficult to live, you know, live with, grow up with. She's old and never felt. She said, I went over to her and said, let's start fresh. And she said, my family is like looking at me because I was so angry with her. There's contention in every gathering, terrible contention. But she said, I was just looking, like she's going to say something, I'm going to, you know, just anger, bitterness. And her husband made me go, well, Jen, you got to let go of this. You're causing, it's not good for the family, it's not good for any of them to see it. And they were all, you know, a little bit upset with this woman. But she went over to her and said that, and the family was like, she said, her arms just went off. She said, I never hugged her, but before I knew it, I had my arms around her. And she said, it was God. It was heartbreaking, you know, just, this is not a girl who is a church-going, you know, but she was so amazed and humbled. And she said she could not stop thanking God that night because she saw that she was being a slave to unforgiveness and bitterness. And once she was set free, she said, I won't be able to share that with another sister who has a husband now. The word many years ago from a abusive husband and never has forgiven. And the children have been embittered by the whole thing. But she said, I just want to help her. So it was a beautiful story of forgiveness. And I just,
it's awesome when we get to see it and we just hug. Like, I can't.
She said, I could never have done that. And she said, but I am so free now to pray to God. I went in that night, God wanted me to say, thank you, God. And her husband turned around when he saw her at this gathering, he said, I would never so pray to God.
Heaping coals. But not heaping coal, like, with your enemy. You know, it's thirsty, give them water. If it's hungry, give them a drink. But we're not heaping coals to heap coals just to load them down with our burdens. We're heaping them with blessings. Why? Because it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And it's His loving kindness that draws it to Himself. So how does He get you to repent? Most of the time for me, He shows me how good He is in spite of me. That I'm being blessed in spite of my own life and things that are happening in my own choices. I make mistakes and He blesses me. And it should bring me to a place that just says, thank you, Lord. That I can walk in humility, surrender, totally knowing that Your mercies are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. But if I wake up in a lifetime and where I'm looking every morning at when I'm getting up and not regarding God, or caring about God, or walking in a fear of reverence of the Lord, and I can pretty much guarantee you after that point I'm not caring about others. Most of the time I even do stupid stuff to my own self that I think I'm doing right. But if we'll come to a place, and I think a lot of it is the second part, where they try to forbid the little ones from coming. You know, when we don't honor people and see them for who they are in Christ, or the potential of who God created them to be, we're going to feel like they're not worthy, and it's not worth our time to bring them to Jesus. The disciples were getting in the way of people bringing kids to Jesus. They were not valuing the children. They were valuing others higher than us. Or the Lord does, He treats us all the same. He's not a respecter of persons. But then He comes back and turns around and says, the kingdom of God, you won't enter unless you enter like a little child. How do we enter into, what is it that's so special about a little child that allows them to have the freedom to enter that we sometimes, what we have is we don't walk in it. Let's just say that.
Trust.
Faith. Childlike faith. A child takes your word.
Trust.
They don't always listen.
Uninhibited with their own ideas of how to get to Jesus. They just run.
Yeah, you have people here who are trying to bring children to Jesus and the disciples are getting in the way. They wanted his time. Don't we do it? We're to be sheep led to slaughter. And I know for me personally in my own life, I'm like, I can't keep doing this and giving out and getting stepped all over and walked over. And then you look in the mirror and you say, it's not my right to be tired. I'm a doormat. A stepping stone. My life is to be laid out in front of people, to be a stain, to be a drink offering, to bring people to Christ. A life lived is what Jesus lived, that's why we're here talking about it. A life surrendered, willing, not because of any of us were worthy, but because He loved us. And because of His love, He valued enough to come and lay down His life and die for each of us, so that we can have life and freedom. Now we have freedom to live. We have freedom to choose. We have a freedom to die. We have freedoms to live. But we can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own strength, because when we start thinking that we are, we start praying, I thank God I'm not like that person. I got my stuff together. Boy, they're a mess. Well, guess what? We're all a mess. A greatly loved mess, though. That He never will fail. Love never fails. God gives more grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. And so when we walk in your... Do you want to battle with the Lord? I don't think you're going to win. And I have a feeling you're going to be pretty bruised with all them, I love you, knocks. When He beats you down by His love. You see, He is our example. He lived a perfect life, relying on the Father to lead Him, direct Him. And as He did, He walked out and showed love. A surrendered life. I know He didn't have that, I'm not getting into that. Anyway, He lived in a way surrendered to the Lord. Why? Because He understood He needed the Father. He understood that they're one, they're united, and the way we get to know Him is to grow and seek and walk with Him. And as you see the things the Father's doing and hear the Father's words and His heart behind things, come to a place of agreement and yield. And then when you blow it, surrender. Humble yourself. Receive His grace. I mean, you can, when you blow it, you can wake up and, or the next minute, you can keep beating yourself up for the next day and a half how you blew this circumstance and miss all these other opportunities to trust the Lord, because you're still looking at yourself and you're in failures. Rather than saying, Lord, forgive me. I tried it on my own. Help me to be mindful of you. Help me be sensitive to your spirit when circumstances come up that I don't think too highly of myself. Lord, I thank you. You created me not to be thinking that way. So pray. Father, thank you for creating me in a way that loves people. He created us, and if he's love, I think he's created us for that purpose. So we can start thanking for what he has done instead of saying the thing. Stop complaining about the things we don't see happening. Hold on to the things that we know. We walk by faith, trusting that he's loved me with an everlasting love, with loving kindness. He has drawn me, and it's by his love. He's always so active according to his character. He cannot deny himself. He will always act in love. That means he's always going to bear with you. He's always believing all things. He's hoping all things. He's enduring all things. Love never. But we need to have that worked into our lives so that when we see those around us, we can see that we can walk humbly. Like, it was funny this week. I'm like, God, because I'm not working consistently, I'm like, I'm going to set my alarm so I can stay consistent. But the whole week, I'm getting up. I'm like, okay, great, I'm being consistent. And I'm like, consistently wasting my time being up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Yay. It's not a bad thing. I'm just saying it was just funny that I looked at getting up as the consistency rather than just waking up with the Lord and trusting him. Then I started holding back on, if I get up here, I'll be established in this. I was looking to myself, trying to train myself in the way I should go. Not saying there's anything wrong with getting up early. There's nothing wrong with these things. But when you try to do these things on your own, then you can find a false sense of humility. Why aren't everybody else getting up in the morning?
No.
Oh, yeah, they're resting. Lucky. No. I mean, so we start judging little things because even just little stuff like that where people, they're not being as spiritual, they're not doing this, or they're not doing. Get your eyes on the Lord. Stop judging yourself based on yourself. Stop judging yourself based on everyone around you. Walk with a place to surrender. He understands our faults. He understands our failures. And he's there to meet us when we do. But we don't have to. We can rest and trust him all the time. And as we learn of our value, as we seek the Lord because of his goodness, I hope it helps us to see that same value the Lord sees you with. Is the same thing he sees the person next to you with. And the drug addict on the street and people shooting up and murdering and all those people, every person that is walking this earth that has ever been created, he feels the same way about them and wants to work in them to willing to do for his good pleasure the same or even more so that he's doing with you. But as we walk, we need to walk in a place where we are judging justly. Scripture tells us that he who is spiritual will judge all things. But then in other places we're told not to judge. The truth is if you're walking led by the Spirit, he's going to show you how to judge things for your walk. And then he's going to show you how to love people as they walk through their walk. Because what he's showing you is for you. And for you to apply to your lives and not assume that I'm more righteous because I've applied it. And that person's less righteous because they didn't. We're all equal in the sight of the Lord. His desire is for all men to come to repentance, that none perish. And he wants to work that in you. That when we see everyone, that we wish none would perish, but all would come to repentance. But they can still get out of my own room, but still. Slow down. Keep it simple. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't get religious. Humble yourself. And I humble myself by yielding to him when he shows me who I really am. But he also, he doesn't just show us who we are, he shows us who gives us hope. He gives us purpose. And knowing Him and His life working in and through us, so that it works to the world around us, so they don't see us. We are to let our light shine in the way that they glorify God in heaven, not what you just did. Anybody come by, walk over the doormat and say, man, that's a nice doormat. It's really what we're here for. We're ambassadors for Christ, pleading is for God to be, people to be drawn to God. That's pretty much it for me. Anybody have any thoughts? My last thing is in Hebrews, let us come boldly through the throne of grace and lending grace and mercy in time of need. Well, when situations come up, the only thing I can say is come boldly with the fear of the Lord and reverence of God. Lord, show me how to walk through this situation. Just pause. Just because they cut you off, or whatever, doesn't mean they're against you. I didn't know they're in a hurry. Their family could be in the hospital. Somebody, we don't know the circumstances. So be careful of walking in judgment. Lord, help me. Get them there safely and everyone around them. And me too. You know, but just to slow down, surrender, to live a life understanding that, in humility, that we're not all that, but you're worth the blood of Christ. And to know myself, I'm nothing. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we have that balance. If we rely on ourselves, we're going to walk in a place where we're unjust, we're going to be judging, we're going to be thinking too highly of ourselves, looking down on people, and we won't value anyone. But if we judge justly and love mercy, walk tenderly, humbly with our God, we will seek His face. We'll just, Lord, change my mind, change my heart. Lord, I don't know what's going on. Help me to be in a position that you might want to work through and live through to touch that person. Don't allow me to be a Father, I don't want to be a disciple keeping children away from you. I want to be someone who's welcoming and walking up to their hands and taking people to you so that they can be touched by them. Each of us have been touched by the Lord. Don't you want everyone around you touched as well? So all we got to do is grab him and take him. Lead him into Jesus you know. And let him touch him. That's all I got. Anything? Next week we get to learn about loving the world's possessions. Yay. Hey, you. Go ahead and read the Rich Young Ruler. There's a lot of good things he did in life. Jesus said, one thing you lack. That one thing you lack, you already knew what it was. How do I inherit the tower of eternal life? You can do all kinds of good things and still know that you're lacking eternal life. So we'll look at that next week. I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Father, we do just thank you that your work's complete. And then somehow you see us as complete, but yet your completeness. Lord, we just want to yield to you and allow you to have your way with us. Help us to have eyes for Jesus alone and the cares of this world to fade away.